This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutin. With me, Tan Chung Han and Melissa Idris with the top business stories of the day. We're joined now by Dodge Dolan, Chief Investment Officer at Land Infused Capital Managers in New York. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, Dodge. We want to begin with your take on this historic meeting, which, all things considered, ended on a positive note with Trump making major concessions to North Korea. In fact, we're more likely to have a war breaking out between the US and Canada at this point in time, with the antipathy displayed quite openly to towards Justin Trudeau. What's your take on the summit in Singapore?
Yes, well, good morning. You've got it right. It was a big, a rather unexpected victory for Trump. I think the fact that Kim Jong-un had not been out of the country and not been through this process gave Trump a good hand to play, and he played it well. They got along well together, and when you take a look, there are only vague proclamations of document and very few details. So there are months, maybe even years of negotiations said, but at least the summit, it exceeded expectations, and the summit's off to a good start. What Donald has, what our president has given up superficially so far really doesn't have a long-term impact and can easily be retraced if North Korea doesn't live up to its side of the deal. But it's going to take time, and for now, the markets can breathe easier because the threat of a real war seems to have diminished, certainly for the present, and there is a process now that can perhaps deliver some peace longer term.
Now, Dodge, you say very few details and this is going to take time. I mean, we could see developments even next week when U.S. officials meet up with North Korean officials to hash out details of what was signed yesterday. So could this add another layer of overhang to the global markets?
Yes, and there will be details that come out. But my from what I can see so far, it's going to take time for the whole deal to come out in public. In the meantime, it will add a layer, but I think what the market's going to react to so far, is as long as there's not a visual threat of a return to the warlike attitudes of either side, the market will be positive until proven guilty, basically. And so it's going to take, the markets now are on a more positive stance, and it will take some pretty serious negative news to come out to change that position.
Well, what about macroeconomic numbers? So let's take a look at the U.S.'s consumer price inflation came in within expectations for last month. Core inflation was at 2.2%, headline at 2.8%. Dodge, that's the steepest rise in the last 6 years. Is there anything in those numbers, Dodge, that you think could alter the Federal Reserve's rate path, especially for the second half of the year?
There could be, but I don't think there will be. When you look at gasoline and shelter, they were the key factors in the May inflation report. Gas prices were up 1.7% for the month and 21.8% over the last 12 months. Shelter costs rose about 0.3% and up 3.5% over the year. What we're seeing now with the price of oil, we're beginning to see more supply come into the markets worldwide. And so I suspect that the price of gas is going to start to come down. It will not be as much of a factor. Bottom line, though, as long as the trend of gasoline prices doesn't start or continue to move up, I suspect that there's enough ammunition for the Fed to move forward with its strategy now and to allow interest rates to start increasing.
And we've got the Fed decision due at 2 a.m. Thursday, Malaysian time. Fed funds futures point to a 100% chance of a rate hike overnight. So we'll see how that pans out. And then later on in the day, on Thursday, we've got the European Central Bank, the ECB. They are set to make their monetary policy decision. Dodge, do you think we'll see more signs of perhaps policy convergence between the ECB and the Fed?
Yes, it depends on how you interpret it. The Federal Reserve and the ECB are likely to show that these systemically important institutions are continuing to gradually move away from the policy approach they had to adapt from 2010 to 2017 for the prior crisis. Yet the two institutions are making this shift at different speeds. And that difference could become more pronounced, raising interesting questions for the markets. Meanwhile, the Fed, the U.S. figure, is allowing the Fed to set aside the spillover effects of the last international growth conditions, uncertainties in Europe, local market disruptions, etc. So it can sidestep the uncertainties about international trade that dominated the G7 summit last week. Meanwhile, the ECB is unlikely to deliver the policy announcement that some in the markets have already inclined to price. Rather than end its asset purchase program in September, which is what there is an expectation at this point, the ECB will most likely extend it for at least 3 months and keep open the possibility of further extensions, which in turn will push back expectations for the beginning of the rate hiking cycle. So there is a differentiation going forward, but their strategy is the same. It's just a matter of timing at this point.
George, what about the BOJ, the Bank of Japan? They've got a monetary policy decision due later, I think, at the end of the week on Friday. How much can, say, the Fed and the ECB and the BOJ afford to block out global risks and focus on a domestic mandate?
Interesting question. When I think the U.S., the Federal Reserve, has more of the ability to block out the geopolitical tensions, whereas the other central banks, because they're facing a different economic scenario in terms of relative and absolute, and in terms of relative, they have more economic questions to answer or to satisfy before they can move forward and forget about geopolitical tensions. And by the way, those geopolitical tensions are in their backyard. So yes, it's going to be a very hard balancing act, and it will be interesting to see what the BOJ does. And yes, as we move forward, I suspect you're going to see the Fed, the ECB, and the BOJ begin to move forward together at the same pace, probably in the fourth quarter of this year.
George, if we could move to the British Isles and have a look at the vote. Theresa May seems to have won the day, at least maybe with a very narrow margin. But she seems to be in control of the Brexit process now, for now at least. Do you think that has any kind of significance for the larger European story?
Yes, I do. It's a position of being innocent until proven guilty. She is in control and so far is able to manage to squeak by, because it's not it's not a huge majority. But she is squeaking by, and as long as that occurs, I believe that things will move forward and that the ECB will end up in a strong position, and the European community will get out of this and be stronger, or at least be able to deal with the separation. But she has to continue to show leadership, and she has to prove that she has leadership. And you know, some of the votes, some of what's going on is it's not all one-sided anymore. And so we're going to have to watch this very, very carefully. This is probably one of the more significant risks facing what's going on in the European community.
All right, so Dodge, given that significant risk that's facing the European community and also, you know, monetary policy, you spoke about how the Fed and the ECB could be moving at different speeds this week, right? And also all the other geopolitical risks that you outlined earlier. So given how this week is panning out, what's your investment strategy, at least in the very short term?
Okay, good question. Well, we're looking away from energy stocks. We see some shorting opportunities also. Interestingly enough, we're beginning to look at aerospace stocks, at least for the short term, as being negative. We have several clients who are interested in shorting General Dynamics and Lockheed Martin, for example. The big banks are also under pressure. We suspect they'll be moving forward. Now, on the positive side, smaller biotechnology companies are looking very positive. Also, of our major averages, we're focused solely on the NASDAQ and the Russell 2000. So we're looking for companies that are domestically related that have little international exposure in terms of their revenue stream.
Thank you so much, Dodge. That was Dodge Jolin, Chief Investment Officer at Landon Fuse Capital Managers in New York. We'll be back with more stories. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.